Welcome back to Generations. I am one of your co-hosts, Peter.
And I'm your other co-host, Aubrey.
Well, Aubrey, how have you been doing?
I've been better.
I mean, it does feel these days like that's a bit of a loaded question, right?
Definitely. Yeah, I've definitely been better. Won't go into too much detail, but I had to move in the last couple weeks. So that was exciting. I just hate moving. It's kind of just the worst thing on the planet. But I'm a little settled now in my new arrangement, and I'm getting a little more comfy, and I think things are going to be decent.
Good. We like that.
Yes. Following, of course, recent events, to anyone who has listened to our episodes regularly, I'm sure everybody can assume how we're feeling based on the recent events in our country. We don't need to go into any insane detail, but I'm very upset and disappointed. And so I'm trying to decatastrophize and focus on some good things. But
good. That's a good thing to do. I will say that I am still in the place where the only song that fits how I'm feeling about our wonderful country right now is the song Geocide by Cattle Decapitation. And I'll throw a few little bleeps in here, but let's just, I'll just say the song ends with the following four line stanza. F*** the future. F*** the future. F*** the future. F*** all mankind.
Yeah. Yep. I also listen to that.
But besides that, you've moved. School's back in session. How are things going with that?
Yeah. Things have been okay. I honestly am just, again, I won't say many details about the move, but just don't be a shitty person is all I really have to say.
Yeah. That's difficult for some people.
Either you're friends with someone or you take their money. Sorry. That's all I have to say.
There you go.
But how have you been besides all of this?
You know, hanging in there. Your mom and I did have a really delightful trip to Hawaii a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It was for the Western Section American Neurological Association's annual meeting. We have the benefit that Hawaii is in the Western Section. And so on average, every other year, they hold their annual meeting there. And that's a lot of fun. So we got to go, went to meeting stuff in the morning generally, and then usually after lunch, your mom and I would meet up and, you know, it was interesting. The first time we went to this meeting in Kauai, we very much had an itinerary planned. So we did zip lining. We we went up Waimea Canyon and did a bike ride down. We went way out and drove out on like a dirt sand road till we walked out to the westernmost beach of the island of Kauai to watch the sunset there and, you know, did a whole bunch of stuff like that. This time we sat by the pool. We sat in the pool. We sat by the beach because the resort that we happened to be staying at was right by the beach. So it was like pool, all of that, walkway, beach right there. So we just did that. We hung out there. Your mom, I think, read 2.5 books. She read Mistborn, The Final Empire. Yes. She finished Mistborn, The Final Empire. Did she finish that before we left? Anyway, she is now, I think, wrapping up The Alloy of Law.
Yeah,
but she made it through the original trilogy. And so she got a lot of reading done. I got some reading done, went to some good sessions, got to hang out with my partner. He and I were both there. His wife was there. So Megan and your mom got to hang out, which was fun because that's actually the first time they've really met. I mean, they met when they came over during the summer for a little barbecue thing that we had. But this was kind of the first real time they'd had any time to hang out. And so that was good. And then I came back and it was election day and I've just been working my butt off. Lots of big cases still, staying very busy. And something that we'll get to a little bit more as kind of our main topic for the day, or at least part of it. But it is now the 15th of November, which means I've got a little over 25,000 words written in my book. So, you know, it's get up, it's go to work, it's come home, dinner, that kind of stuff, and then write. And some nights the words come out very quickly and I'm done writing. And then I have a little bit of time to hang out. And most nights I'm just so tired from work and everything that I come home and I write and then it's bedtime. Or it's past my bedtime. So that's about it, really.
Yeah, you're keeping very busy. Yeah, it's been a very, like, go, go, go as well for me, especially with moving. And then, like, it's not like homework and work stop when I have to move. it's not
that's
like
true.
They
don't.
They are like, oh, you get a pass. No, nobody gets a pass. So I still had
nobody gets a pass.
All my homework and just so many things going on. But I have been, the one thing that has been keeping me going, that even when I feel a depressive episode coming on, at least I have one thing to hold on to, is Stardew Valley.
Nice. You have entered Stardew Valley.
I love it.
I keep
so
telling
much.
Myself I need to get into that game.
I love it so much. All I think about is Stardew Valley. I think about what I can, like, if my kegs are ready and how much money I'm going to make from this wine versus this wine and all the different animals I can get. And all I'm fully married with a kid in Stardew Valley.
That's fantastic.
I married Leah, the little redhead painter girl, and we have a little baby and her name is Uniqua from the Backyard Again.
Yep, I love that.
That's what's keeping me going. Oh,
that's
man.
That's fantastic.
Oh, man.
I mean, sometimes, you know, you got to find something. That's been the difficult thing for me with this writing is, like, if I want to play a game or something, I can't. I just have to write.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you want to get into the topic for today?
Yeah. So I thought we could kind of talk a little bit about what I'm referring to as our tech stack. And that's going to be a conversation about kind of really what is the technology that we use either to get work done or for enjoyment and that kind of thing, including kind of both hardware and sort of, you know, what apps do we use? What things kind of help us get done the stuff that we need to get done? So I don't know. Do you want to go ahead and kick us off with something?
Yeah. I have my main app that I I'm going to talk about is my lovely best friend, GoodNotes. I love
GoodNotes. Yes, GoodNotes is an excellent app.
Yeah, I have, because what I do for all of my note writing, everything is handwritten on my iPad. It's how I retain information better is by writing it down. I do not like typing notes.
Sure.
I love GoodNotes. I have all my little notebooks for all my different classes. It's super nice because within every notebook, I can import like PDFs from my classes. I can import like lecture notes and then like annotate on them in my own little way. There's so many colors and I make everything pink and it's fantastic. I do all my note taking in pink versions of the color, different pink shades. And it's also nice just because it's very easy to organize all the pages in a nice way that I like. So you can do different templates of the pages. So if you like to have like regular college ruled, you can do that. You can, I personally have like the gridded, because I write really small. I zoom in really big and write small and then zoom out. So I have like a just entire page of notes, and you can just, it's just more comprehensive for me that way. And so you can change the templates. Again, it's really easy to like import PDFs, because I always have things from my classes that I want to have in my notes so I can write on, or I'm not repeating notes. Like if there's slideshows that my professors have, they'll post them and then I can upload them onto GoodNotes and I can have everything that I need in all of my different notebooks. And then I can also, like, you can make little folders to put your notebooks in as well. So I've been using GoodNotes since I got to college. So I have, like, year one, semester one, semester two, year two, semester one, semester two. So I have all of the notebooks that I've ever written, like, all the classes I've ever written notes in, I just keep in those folders. And then you can, like, star the notebooks that you consistently use that you want to be like at the top. So I just have all my classes starred, and it is just, it's just super nice. You can move text around really easily, which is nice because it's just nice to be able to, you know, I write something and then oh, that's too squished in that place. You can just select it and move it around. It's also nice. There's like a little laser pointer. So when I'm trying to like show people what my work is, like if I'm getting help, I can like use either like the longer laser pointer where it like keeps the streaks for a minute, or just the point, like particle laser pointer. And that's super helpful because then you can like really clearly show people like what you're talking about and what part of your work you're trying to discuss. So that, I love GoodNotes. I have no complaints. It's really easy to import images. Again, exporting pages, like I do all of my homeworks on it as well. So it's really nice to just select the pages, export it to a PDF, and I can submit it to Canvas or whatever super easily. I can email it to anyone very easily. I can save it to like my files that then I can turn it in on my computer. Like everything connects very nicely. So yeah, I love GoodNotes. That's the thing I used 1000% like the majority of the time. That's my most used app is GoodNotes.
Yeah. You know, GoodNotes is excellent. I've been using it for a few years. I don't use it as extensively as you do because I'm not in class.
Right.
But I do, I find, and it's frustrating to me, there is something different about handwriting.
Yes.
There just is.
Yep.
And so, but at the same, so I've gone through phases where I'm like, well, do I want to have like a little everyday carry kind of notebook that I carry around in my pocket? So, and like a pen, but then there are times where I'm like, but I don't always have that. For example, when I'm down in the operating room, it's not like I'm going to carry that around with me because I'm not walking down with an EDC bag. And so GoodNotes has been kind of a nice in between where it's still digital. And for me, especially as the nerd that I am, it syncs across my iPad mini and my 11 inch iPad Pro and my 13 inch iPad Pro and my MacBook Pro and my Mac mini and my iPhone. I mean, I can access any of my notes across any of those, and I can add to them, I can edit them, I can export from whichever machine I'm at. And for me, that's really important, that fact that I have that then everywhere. And that fixes one of the limitations of the paper notebook, that I can't have that everywhere. But I do the same thing. You know, the American Urological Association, the AUA, has something called the Update Series, where there's 40 lessons a year, and it's a CME sort of thing. So I subscribe to that and I get my lesson. So I take the article that then has the questions at the end, and I have a notebook for every year. And when a new one comes out, I just import it at the end of that. I read through, I can highlight, I mean, there's simple things that are just really nice, like the fact that you can have the highlighting automatically sort of make it straight.
Yes.
So I highlight, and even if I'm a little sloppy, when I lift the Apple Pencil off, it gets nice and straight, looks better. I can make notes in there. I can get to the end. I go through, I take the questions, I'll circle my answers so I don't have to like rush and go log in on a computer and go through that whole process. And then I can come back and I can do that later. I use it a lot. Again, it's really nice on my other podcast when we're watching a movie or a show or something like that to have the iPad mini, just the little iPad mini, cute little iPad mini sitting there on my lap. And jot down real quick notes for myself about what we're watching or, you know, thoughts, things like that. So yeah, I like it. Question for you. Have you gotten, so you say you like the grid, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I'm a dot person. Okay. I like a dot template, except I do use GoodNotes for my weekly goal setting. And in that,
well.
I use Cornell. I use a Cornell stationery. So I have kind of the blank part over on the left side where I break down the different areas for my goals. The grid on the right side is where I write the goals. And then the big empty part at the bottom is kind of a little message to myself that I write in that empty space. Mm-hmm. So, but one question I have is, have you gotten into at all, like the world of alternative stationery and templates and planners and stuff for things like GoodNotes?
I have, because I use GoodNotes also as my planner, but there's only like one page template that's really decent for that, and it's not great. It's just like the to-do list, and I have used that for my planner pretty often. But I've tried to look for apps that are better for like a planner situation, because I love a cute little planner that has a bunch of different sections for how you plan out your week and your month and your day and all that stuff. But either I get really overwhelmed by the apps because there's just so much, and I like am like, I don't even know how to like begin with this.
Sure.
And there feels like there's a lot of options. So I kind of just get overwhelmed with different apps. Because again, it's not great for just like a planner. It's really nice to just have like a to-do list. Again, like if I just have a list of things I need to remember that I need to do when I get home, I guess it's good for that. But when I have like events and tasks and dates and, you know, stuff like that, it's kind of garbage for that. So I don't know. Yeah. If you have a recommendation.
Well, so I worry about what I am about to do.
Oh, no.
I worry that I am about to enter, like invite you into a whole deep, dark world. I have just sent you something.
Etsy.
Through the chat. I invite you to go look at it. So people on Etsy make custom PDF templates. And like there's crazy stuff that people are making. Like if you just search like GoodNotes planner on Etsy, you are going to find so many different types of planners and stationaries and things like that, that then you can import into GoodNotes and use. Like literally go to Etsy.
Wow.
And in the search box, just type GoodNotes and nothing else. And you will just like,
whoa, yeah. It was like the first thing. Whoa.
Yeah. Yes.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry.
Whoa. That's so cool. Okay. I'm gonna make a little bookmark so
yep.
I can go.
You better that favorite later. That. Go back. You've got a little bit of stuff to look at. Now here's one thing I'll tell you. A lot of these are hyperlinked planners. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. This took me a little while to figure out. If you leave edit mode in GoodNotes,
mm-hmm.
up at the top little, bar,
yeah.
just tap that. Now all of those hyperlinks just work and they'll take you to the different pages. If you're still in okay. edit mode and you try and tap on those, it's a lot trickier.
Okay.
But you can, like, I found this one and I didn't end up using it because it didn't work for me.
Uh-huh.
But I found this, well, and also look, the GoodNotes subreddit or the Kindle Scribe subreddit,
oh.
those places, people share planners and templates and things like that. And sometimes they're just like totally free. So check out both of those resources as well. Genius. Or sometimes if like I found the way I found it is this Etsy seller was basically advertising through the GoodNotes subreddit.
Yeah.
And so if you went from there, you got like a 50% discount or something like that.
Yes.
So look at those places.
Absolutely.
Check those out. But it didn't work for me to use it as a planner because I want, you know, I use my calendar. Like I have Fantastical and I have Fantastical all worked out so that I have different calendars attached to my Fastmail account that are different colors for different parts of my life, whether it's work, personal creative, personal intellectual, whether it's like all those things. And then I have all these templates about different events built in Fantastical. So for me, that works better. So I guess I would say I'm giving a plug for Fantastical here. And it is a much more beautiful looking calendar. So from that standpoint, I prefer it over the traditional like standard built-in Apple calendar. The natural language processing is better to add events. And so for me, it's something that I have continued to use. And I'm going to get on a little aside here because there's something about both of these apps that we have mentioned. And that is that they are both subscription apps. And I am going to say that people out there who are opposed to subscriptions for software that you use, I understand that. And I vehemently disagree with you. I think that if an application improves your life in a demonstrable way, it isn't unreasonable to pay the developer of that $10 a year or something like that to continue to use that and get all the benefits. And here's the thing. I hear a lot of people like, well, I would rather just buy the program outright. Great. There are still options for that. But at the same time, if you are using software that is a subscription, the developers of that I have found are much more incentivized to regularly update and add features. And if you're subscribed, you just continue to get those. So I know things are expensive. People don't have a ton of, you know, extra cash at times. And so I totally respect that. But at the same time, I would just say if you are somehow like theologically opposed to subscriptions for software, I would perhaps invite you to reassess your priorities.
Yeah.
Because, hey, the people who are making these apps that make your life better, they need to be able to eat.
They do.
And so, and I recognize I'm in a bit of a privileged position where at this point in my life, I can have a lot more subscriptions for software that I use than I did when I was in medical school or residency or, you know, undergrad in that situation. So I understand that. And that's where you can find other alternatives much of the time. But if you find something, I mean, you find something, it sounds to me like in a significant way, your college experience would have been or would be worse if you did not have GoodNotes.
Absolutely.
And so if that's the case, I kind of go, again, I don't remember. GoodNotes, isn't it only like $9.99 or $10 a year or something?
It was only like $7 a year.
There you go. I mean, $7 a year for something that has improved your life in a demonstrable way.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty fair.
Absolutely
that's
pretty fair. Worth it. Absolutely worth it. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So what else? Tell me a little bit about your iPad use. I'm curious. Mm-hmm. You talk about taking all these handwritten notes on your iPad. You use the Apple Pencil. Do you have one of the paper-like screen protectors or screen covers on it? Or do you just like, I'm so sorry, I'm going to say this. And I recognize I'm saying this on purpose because I want to be that person. Or do you just raw dog it?
I knew you were going to say that. I do. I just raw dog it.
Okay.
It was like a little weird when I very first got my iPad, but I've gotten so used to it at this point that I don't really, it's kind of funky because it's, you know, it's kind of slippery. It kind of just, you know, that it's not like it grips the paper at all, but, like would move any like bracelets or like Apple Watch or something. Just I just made sure I don't wear it on my right wrist, and any like,
sure,
like I used to have like a pinky ring that was on like my right hand, and I moved it to my left hand because sometimes I would like hit the screen and that would bother the crap out of me. But now, yeah, so I use just like, I just have a regular glass screen protector. It is a little slippery at times, but again, I think GoodNotes is really good with any like, what's the word? I don't know. It's good with like resting your hand on it. It's really good at
it's good at the palm detection, palm rejection.
Palm rejection.
And you can go in and you can say, I'm right-handed. And it even has a thing where there's like 9 pictures where it's like, well, roughly how do you hold your hand when you write?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So, it's really smart like that.
Yeah, it's really good with that. So I've never had really any problems with that. You can't like bump it and write anything. It will only write basically if you're on the Apple Pencil. But it will still notice like when I tap with like my finger as well, which is nice. So kind of using both of those is really nice. I mostly use, again, I use my iPad for school things, and watching like YouTube or like streaming services and stuff on it if I'm not at home, because I have a TV and a monitor that I hook up my stuff to.
Sure.
I have this app that I use it on my iPad that's not super relevant for this, for our conversation today, but I think it is because this is our podcast and I can do whatever I want. So this exactly is, right. I use this app called Eden, like the Garden of Eden, and it's like a habit tracker app. And when you do all your habits in the day, like you set which day do you want to do which habit and how often, if you can do a set number of times, like you want to do it this many times and then you're done with the habit, great. If you want it to be every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you can set that, whatever. It can be whatever you want. You just make your own list of little habits. And when you do all of your habits in a day, then it grows a part of your garden. And when you don't complete all your habits in the day, it will say, like, part of your garden will wither today, but there's always tomorrow. And then it will just, like, kindly take, like, disappear part of the garden. It doesn't, like, wilter and, like, be look sad. Sure. It just, like, disappears. Sure. So it's not like you're looking at it and you're like, oh, wow, my garden sucks because it's dead. It will either be nothing or it will be growing. So, like, I'll show you. It's not like you can see on...
Okay.
Yeah, so isn't that cute?
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. It will, I have like a whole list of habits, and you can, again, I only have certain things for certain days, and then you can write little notes underneath them. So I have like I write 3 things that I'm grateful for almost every day. I either write them or I say them. And so if I write them, then I write it under the little thing, and then I have a list of all of these things that I am grateful for. And nice. Then when I complete it, then it grows into this pretty garden and grows like a new leaf on one of the flowers or something like that. So I think pretty that's good. Cute because I like it on the big screen on my iPad. Like I wouldn't want to do that on my phone because you can't really see anything. So I use that, and then I also FaceTime Hayden because we're long distance on my iPad, because then it's bigger.
Sure.
It feels like he's actually there a little bit because his head is like a little more full size than it is on a
right
phone.
Not just a little window.
Yeah. So yeah, I use my iPad genuinely. It's like the people who don't have iPads in my like college classes that use like paper notebooks, I don't know how they do it, because it's like been such an integral part of me being able to like keep organized and sane as a college student. And I think I will continue to use it. I mean, even when I'm not in school, and of course I still want to go to grad school in the future, so I'll use it then. But even not, like, I feel like I just keep things so much more organized on there, and it's been, yeah, it's great.
Cool.
Yeah.
I sent you something else in the chat, and I will tell you that this is something that I have tried many of, and this is the one I've landed on, and I like it a lot. It's very good. Yep. So it replaces the tip of your Apple Pencil, mm-hmm. and it gives it just, it's kind of got a little bit of a textured rubber on the outside. So it gives it just a little bit of, just a little bit of, in the stationery business, what they call bite. Oh. So gives you just a little. I have done the paper-like screen protectors. I think those, when I was writing, if I write a lot and I have the regular Apple Pencil tip, those are better than, for me, than just the blank screen, because the slipperiness, like you said, it is a little much for me. I guess I just need a little bit of that texture. But I sometimes don't like those screen protectors because they make the screen not look as good. And for example, on my iPad mini, I don't care because it mostly use it for taking notes or reading, and it doesn't help hurt there. But like on my 11-inch iPad Pro that has this gorgeous OLED display, I don't want to muck that up by slapping one of these things on there. So that's why I got those. They're nice. I like them. I think that they work well and they feel good. But I too use my iPad. I use my iPad a lot. I use it for reading. I use it for writing. I have the Apple's smart keyboard, whatever, magic keyboard, whatever it's called, with the trackpad and stuff. And so that is one of my preferred writing things. Even though it's a little small, it feels so good. It's so light. I like the way the keys feel in that. And so I do a lot of my writing on that. Again, I do take notes. I read a lot. I have a number of, you know, whether it's Kindle or I use an app called Unread. Unread is an RSS app. It does other things too, but I have a Feedbin account where I have a bunch of RSS accounts tied into my Feedbin. And so I can open Unread, scroll through, look at things really quick. And then if there's something that I go, okay, I want to dive into that more, from Unread, I can directly send that either to something called GoodLinks, which is a nice read it later service. And then I can go in and I can highlight and it'll save my highlights and stuff. Or I can send it to like Readwise Reader and save those highlights and things like that. So Unread for me on the iPad, again, it's really nice to just kind of scroll through my long list of news and articles and medicine stuff and tech stuff and, you know, personal improvement, motivation, crap like that. And anytime there's something, I kind of use Unread to triage and, you know, look at things quick. And if there's something that's longer or that I want to come back to, then from there, I can just directly send it to Readwise, or I can send it to GoodLinks or something like that. And so, you know, my iPad, I get a lot of stuff done on it, and I use it a lot for reading and for being creative and writing and things like that. So, I think it's a great device. I know a lot of people complain about the iPad and it doesn't do enough and that sort of thing. And I get it. iPad's hardware is, especially now, like the new one with the M4 in it, is so robust and so strong and it's so capable, and the software kind of in some ways holds it back. But for me, it was a matter of, well, there are things that I'm going to do on my computer, but then there's a lot of things I can do on the iPad. Yep. And as long as I don't try and make the iPad do things that at least right now it can't do, and it would be nice that it could, but as long as I kind of, you know, say, this is what my iPad's for, I like it a lot. It's really great. Yeah. I would probably be more sad if I couldn't use my MacBook Pro, but like I would be more, let's see. It would put me in greater difficulty if I couldn't use my MacBook Pro, but I think I'd be more sad if I didn't have access to my iPad.
And I think for me, since I'm a student, it would be flipped for me. I would be more sad if I couldn't use my Mac, and I would be devastated and in deep pain if I couldn't use my iPad. I mean, both are very, again, integral parts of my use, right. But still.
So there's one more thing I want to talk about, one more bit of software, and then I kind of want to go into a little bit sort of hardware, and I'll give you a reason. I'll give you a reason and an idea as why I want to go that route. As mentioned, it is November. It's National Novel Writing Month. And I, for this year's novel, have completely changed how I am writing my book and what software I am using. So in the past, I used Scrivener. Scrivener is software specifically designed for writing long form, whether it's books, whether it's It's like screenplays, whether it's things like that. And it has templates for all of this stuff, things that it is designed to make that easier. And there are good things about Scrivener, and it's incredibly powerful. And I recognize as a complete, just like write for fun, amateur, not a professional, there's lots of things that I don't need Scrivener to do that it can do. At the same time, there is one particular aspect of Scrivener that feels stuck far enough in the past that this year I couldn't continue to use that. And that is the fact that it does not sync. You can set it to back up to, say, a service like Dropbox or Google Drive or something like that, but it doesn't really sync the way in the year of our Lord 2024 we expect things to sync. Let's get back to good notes. You know, I take a note on my iPad mini, and as long as there is an internet connection, then when I open GoodNotes on any of my other devices, that note will be there.
Yep.
And then I can edit on that device, and then it will go back to all of them. It's what we kind of expect these days. Scrivener doesn't do that. And the reason I found that so frustrating is the first year, the first book I wrote, I was writing with my 12.9-inch iPad Pro in the Magic Keyboard. And since that was where I started, I realized that was where I was committed. I had to write the whole book there because it was too much of a hassle to download the package from Dropbox and then import it into Scrivener on the MacBook and then write there. And then I needed to upload that back, making sure that I didn't accidentally, you know, it was, right. I was like, I'm going to do something bad if I do this. So last year when I wrote my book, I decided, well, I wanted to use my MacBook Pro because it was a, it had the new keyboard. It didn't have the butterfly keyboard. And so I decided I was going to use that. But again, I was stuck using my MacBook Pro. Now, it's only a 14-inch. It's not a big deal, but there are some times where I didn't want to carry a 14-inch laptop. I wanted to carry an iPad.
Right.
And so this year, I have decided to use Obsidian. Now, Obsidian is an interesting application. People get super nerdy about it. People have very, very strong feelings about their personal knowledge management systems, or their PKMS.
Yes.
There's a lot of people back and forth about things like, you know, Notion versus, you know, some people still use OneNote by Microsoft, people using Evernote, people using Obsidian or Bear on Apple platforms, or there's this open source one called LogSeq. You can use, there's something called Capacities. There's all these different apps out there. And I decided to use Obsidian because of one simple fact. And that was the fact that Obsidian, in essence, is just a folder of Markdown files, just a folder of .md files. And for people who don't know what Markdown is, it's just a text file. It is one of the most basic types of computer files. Markdown files only differ from text files in that they allow for some formatting by code in the file. And so any application that can display Markdown files can take that folder of text files and then I can open it. And so I was intrigued by that because I'm not reliant on, it's not in some, I don't have to export anything. I don't have to worry about, you know, look, we'll just use Word for an example. You write a Word document and you open that .docx in Pages and the formatting may be off in a little place and it may not be perfect. And you try and upload it into Google Docs and use it there. And again, it may not be perfect. There may be some issues. And so, you know, you're exporting and you're doing all this stuff and it just isn't as smooth. So I decided, well, I'm going to start checking out Obsidian. And then it has this ability to do backlinking where you link between your notes. And people talk about this can unlock, you know, you can help you understand whatever. I haven't gotten into that. But here's the deal. I can write and it's just a big old folder of text files. I can use that anywhere. I can import them into other software if I want. I can do anything I want with it. I have complete control over it. You can use things like Dropbox or iCloud Drive or GitHub or any of these different things to try and sync it across devices. Or you can pay the Obsidian company, because Obsidian is completely free. You can pay Obsidian. You can use their sync service, which works great. It's rock solid. again, it's a subscription, but it's something that I look at and say, look, I'm using Obsidian every single day of my life. I have thousands and thousands, like I have hundreds of thousands at this point of words in Obsidian.
Yeah.
And this just, boom, it just links everywhere. There's a whole bunch of really powerful plugins made by community members that you can download. There's themes. You can do all sorts of things to it. But again, in essence, when you get down to it, it's just a folder of text files on my computer. Mm-hmm. And it syncs very quickly. So now I can write on my laptop. I can write on my desktop. I can write on an iPad. I can write anywhere I can install Obsidian, I can write. And so that's been really great for me because it's been nice to move around where it's like, okay, I'm at work and I know I'm going to have a little bit of time at lunch. And so I take my iPad. And so I bust out a couple hundred words during lunch.
Yeah.
And then I come home. And now, because I want to have multiple things open at the same time, I sit down at my 4K 27-inch monitor, and I have Obsidian, and I have other things all open, and I can have multiple windows of Obsidian open, and I can have my plot outline over here, and then I can keep writing. Mm-hmm. And it's worked really, really well. So I've been really happy with that, and I think it gets down to just a matter of just because something says it's the best. That's why I decided to try Scrivener, because I'm one of those losers who's like, well, if this is the best, I should try it. But just because something says something's the best, it's like, maybe it doesn't work for you.
Yeah.
And so Obsidian's been working great for me. I enjoy it. I am writing. And yeah, as soon as we finish up today, I'm going to have to start writing some more. But the final thing I wanted us to talk about before we wrap up here, you mentioned you've got your iPad. You mentioned your MacBook. Obviously, I feel like we've kind of, as a family, we're all in on the Apple stuff. Mm-hmm. Is there a reason for you why you have chosen to go that route?
Just specifically for the nice way everything syncs together. Just the nice way. I like the way things, like the Apple things, look. I like the way the apps look. I like the way it can, again, like iCloud, whatever, things can sync across all my devices, and I have kind of, you know, one account that then handles all the devices, and I feel like it kind of keeps everything in a nice, comprehensive way. But also the other reason is I just don't know anything different. And and like anything that you've ever gotten me has been Apple, and so I'm like, yeah, why would I change it now?
Which is funny because I used to very much be a Windows person. Uh-huh. I grew up a Windows person, even though my very first computer we had as I was growing up was an original Macintosh. Uh-huh. But, you know, I used Windows for many years. I use Windows at work. I hate Windows. I really, really hate Windows. Every time I have to use Windows for something other than a specific purpose, for example, if I'm gaming on my gaming desktop, I hate Windows. And that's been, I think, a thing where, you know, for me, it was the same thing. It's that ecosystem lock-in. It's the fact that I can have a whole bunch of devices, but hey, guess what? My photos, I don't have to think about it. My photos, I can see any picture on any one of my devices.
Yep.
They're just there. My music is on any one of my devices. And we are Apple Music family in part because that was me. Because before Apple Music was a thing, before Spotify was a thing, iTunes Match was a thing.
Yeah.
And I had so much music that I used iTunes Match. So then all of a sudden Spotify comes along and I tried it and I'm like, but Spotify doesn't have like my 20,000 songs that are already in my library and I'd have to go rebuild that. But Apple Music did, because it just brought all that in. And so, yeah, it's that ecosystem lock-in. It's the fact that I can be sitting on my iPad in front of my Mac Mini and the 27-inch monitor, and without taking my hands off of the Magic Keyboard, I can just slide on the trackpad, and all of a sudden I'm controlling the cursor on my Mac Mini. I can type, I can do whatever I need to on there, slide my hands back. I've never taken my hands off one, and I'm just seamlessly moving back and forth between two computers. Or if I'm dumb and I forget to close the lid of my MacBook Pro, I might accidentally be over on my MacBook Pro. But that's the thing, is you can use all of these different devices from one keyboard and mouse. And so there's just something to be said of that, that it takes out some of the friction of getting the things done. And for me, that's what the text should be. Strip out the friction.
Yeah.
All right. We've gone long. Do you have a space thing to share with us?
I do. I do indeed. Let me whip out my, oh, I will say one more little thing about tech things is what I'm being forced to write my research paper on is Overleaf. And maybe you can bleep this out, but Overleaf. I hate it makes me think awful thoughts. I hate it. I hate it. But I have to write it, and I have to write it in LaTeX, and I hate LaTeX, but it's what the Astro people want, and I do what they want. Yep. So I'll do what they want.
That's what you got to do.
But my Astro fact for the day, let me make sure I have my little article open. So we have this observatory that has been in use for, I want to say, 20 years. It's called it's NASA's Neil Gabriel Swift Observatory. And we have discovered for the first time a signal from a pair of massive black holes, not just supermassive black holes. We discovered a signal from these two black holes disrupting a cloud of gas in the center of a galaxy. So we got a signal from it, and we were like, hey, what is this? So it's been reoccurring like every few months since the first one. The first one only happened like a couple months ago, and then they just got another one. So they were trying to figure out what the signal was from. But first of all, it's these two black holes, and black hole binaries are, I say common, but like common is a very relative word when it comes to like astrophysical things. Same as you can say something is small or something is cold, but like that doesn't mean much. Cold can be like a couple thousand Kelvin in terms of astrophysical scales of things. So there's these two supermassive black holes. They're orbiting each other. The black holes are both massive. They're at the center of one galaxy. So it's two black holes in the center of one galaxy, which almost every galaxy has like in what we call an active galactic nuclei at the center, whether that be a black hole or whether it be like an active black hole that's like shooting jets out from either side. It's, you know, there's a whole bunch. Every galaxy basically will have a black hole in the center. This one has the two black holes. They're about a light day apart. It only takes light. It only takes one day for light to travel. It's 16, again, pretty close, 16 billion miles apart. But that's pretty close in terms of space. They complete a full orbit about every 130 days, and they will collide and merge into an extremely supermassive black hole in approximately 70,000 years, which is actually very soon in terms of in terms of space. So we were trying to figure out what was the like signal that we got, because we got some sort of like flare. And so we thought it was maybe like a supernova at first, because that's pretty common. Like supernovae just emit a whole, like just a ton of like elements and light signals and stuff like that. So we thought maybe that's what it was. But what it actually what they actually think it is a tidal disruption of a gas cloud, like a cloud of gas that is bigger than the binary itself. So bigger than both black holes, like a massive gas cloud that then the cloud gets too close to the black holes and gravity shreds it apart, forms like filaments of weird gas around both the pair of black holes. And then just that friction heats it up. And then the gas gets like insanely dense and hot close to the black holes. And then that ejects some of the gas on the rotation based on like just rotational velocity and momentum. And it will eject it. And that's what we got as the signal, which is I think, very cool, because tidal disruption events are what my research is on, except it's tidal disruption sure. events of stars instead of clouds. But I just think that's cool. It's a pretty niche thing, but I just think that's cool because it just shows the massive, just like monstrous scale of things that we just mm-hmm. don't understand. Like, there's just these two monster-eating black holes, and they're just, like, shredding everything around it, and we get one teensy little signal, but it's actually because of some incredibly extreme event that is tearing apart galaxies, you know, however far apart it is, which is just super cool to me.
That's wild.
So
that is wild.
So, yeah, that's my astrofact.
Cool. I like it. That's great. I don't have anything interesting from medicine other than to say, boy, there's a lot of kidney cancer in Pocatello these days, and I don't know why. So,
yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening in, and we'll be back again in another 2 weeks. We ended up with Aubrey's move and everything. We kind of had to take, we were not able to record a couple of weeks ago when we were originally planning, but we will plan to be back in another 2 weeks. And until then, if you've got any comments, reach out to us at feedback@generations.fm. And go ahead and like, subscribe, give us a star rating, share with others, do all that fun stuff. And until then, we'll talk to you later.
See ya.